This is the Fabric Podcast, where we've been exploring enough. Do you ever feel like there's not enough of you to go around? Or maybe that who you are just isn't enough for the demands, expectations, and needs of the world around you? In this episode, Greg Meyer, along with some other Fabric folks, explores that sense of enough when it comes to ourselves.
What is enough? Is it the point of satisfaction, contentment, when you know you don't need anything more, anything else? Or is enough the insatiable appetite for what's next, the newest, shiniest, the step up from what you have, the added feature, or just plain more? To be honest, we all know both sides of enough, and we also know that the contented side is tougher to achieve than the contented side. Wanting, needing a little bit more comes so naturally. Enough would love to eat you alive. I was taught a long, extended lesson that I'm still struggling to learn that helped me understand enough when I lived in Papua New Guinea. I spent several months every year bushwalking with my Papua New Guinean co-workers through the roadless subtropical mountains where we lived, often 12 hours of packing with elevation climbs and then descents of a vertical mile, sometimes more than once a day. Surviving those hikes for the first year or so not only required physical, but mental and emotional conditioning. They were exhausting. I remember, during my first half a dozen trips or so, periodically getting a peek through the trees of a ridgehead, and my heart would leap with the hope that we were finally getting to the top and I would be able to look down at a serene valley with the village we were headed to, and I could know the walk was almost over. But it was never the last ridge. It was always just the one I could see from there. My questions to my seasoned fellow journeyers of, is that the last ridge? Which I couldn't suppress, or how much further? Were met with whatever answer I needed. Yeah, probably, or what I learned to dread hearing, it's a long way, a little bit, which doesn't quite translate into English, but you get the idea. Basically, lies. Because how could they give a good answer to the wrong question? The fact was, we weren't where we were going yet, so how much further, or is that the last ridge, were irrelevant. The only real question was, do I still have to keep walking? And the answer to that was always, yes, which I already knew. So why even ask? The truth in those moments wasn't about the village we weren't at yet, or the ridge ahead, or the distance ago. It was the moment. The moment and the place that I was, and what I needed to do to be in it. Over the years, as I learned to be less preoccupied with where I wasn't yet, so that I could immerse in where I was, it all got a lot easier. Easier, better, more fun, and I started learning about the rainforest and about myself. Enough is being on a walk, not the measuring of it. Life is a journey you live, not the measuring, achieving, accomplishing of it. There are many versions of enough that we're all chasing, and the harder we chase, the further away they seem to be. What if the enough you are chasing isn't out there, but in there? What if it's you, yourself? As hard as it is to feel like we have enough money, fame, success, recognition, credit, whatever, feeling like you yourself is enough is probably the hardest. I would even venture to say that in some way or another, all those things or attributes you want enough of all point at or cover up the big and real enough question. Am I enough? Well, I can tell you, and I mean it, that you are enough, just as you are. But chances are that you've heard that and you know it already, and that's not the problem. The problem is that you don't feel like it. And if you don't feel like it, deep in your bones, it doesn't matter what I say, because whatever is making you ask the question is still there. We experience the self-doubt, the questioning of our competence, how we stack up against our friends, our classmates, coworkers, the people on TV, or just some vague notion of the standard of what real people are supposed to be like. How do you measure up? Are you enough? When we started this enough conversation, I asked a number of people what enough meant to them and was overwhelmed by the responses, the number and the depth of them. A surprising number of people talked about their struggles with and realizations about enough in terms of their parenting. I guess we have a lot of parents in the Fabric community, but still, the fact that so many of their minds went in that direction says something important about parenting and the tension between our hopes for and how it pans out in our lives. Martha is one of our Fabric folks who touched on how the dilemma of enough not only pertains to herself, but also to her children and their experience with it.
So something I struggle with is how to balance the idea of being enough with the growth and connection. And so when Greg asked me what I struggle with in terms of enough, it was the middle of a rainy COVID spring break with no plans. And so what was really top of mind for me is, am I enough as a parent? And so I think, you know, you're always questioning yourself, and I'm always questioning myself, am I doing enough as a parent? And I think it's really tricky because, you know, I often will play through things I did during the day and think about, you know, was that enough? Was that, or am I happy with how that went? But then it's a double bind because it's not just, am I enough? It's also, am I helping my kids feel like enough? And so in parenting, there are all these hard things that you have to coach your kids through, you know, to keep them safe and to have them be able to have positive relationships. And, you know, a lot of times I really struggle with it because, you know, some of these things that they have to figure out are really hard. And it's something that you have to fail at a lot of times before you start figuring things out. And so, you know, do my suggestions and expectations, some days they feel heavy. And I think about, how do I help them feel like enough? Because they're just awesome kids. I want them to feel like the awesome kids that they are. How do I help them feel like enough by still helping them grow? And so often at the end of the day, I think about, well, everything I said to them, how does that feel? And in their bodies, did they actually feel like enough today?
Thank you, Martha. There is a double bind in wondering if you are enough to help your children be enough and not undermine their sense of enough by doing it. That's real stuff. If only there were a playbook of how to do that. There isn't, by the way. Each child is different. Every situation is different. And it isn't hard to see why one of the greatest dangers to feeling like you are enough is spending time wondering whether you are or not. Enough is being on the journey with one another, honestly, openly, not measuring it. But that measuring, that judging and comparing, that's hard to turn off, isn't it? And to not be reflective about how you're doing as a parent doesn't seem like that's the right way to go. A non-reflective life isn't likely to learn and grow. But it's not the reflection that wounds our sense of worth or enough, is it? It's the measuring, the comparing. How do we take on the honest and earnest task of self-examination without the competition thrown on it? Well, whether you've ever thought about him this way or not, that was what Jesus was all about. We can understand him pretty well by seeing how he absolutely ignored our desperate need for earning our enoughness and how he consistently fought against our efforts to make others earn theirs. He did it with a revolutionary way of looking at the purpose and value of our humanity. Last week, we learned about enough from Nick's 42 days in the wilderness and Israel's 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus learned from a 40 days experience in the wilderness, too. According to Matthew and Luke, two of the gospel writers, gospels being the books written about Jesus' life, by the way, for both Matthew and Luke, Jesus emerged from the wilderness with a new and fuller understanding of his life and his purpose. Many have referred to these first public addresses as his manifesto, and I hear both versions of that manifesto speaking to what enoughness is for us. In Matthew's writing, Jesus steps out from the wilderness, and he starts talking to people in villages throughout the countryside, which builds up to crowds following him, and he pronounces what he sees as the top attributes of the person who is enough, the characteristics of a person who is, in God's eyes, blessed. The church has called this manifesto the Beatitudes, but I'm going to call them the Enoughs. Jesus' summary is, unlike the marks of enough promoted most of the time, which kind of go like this. Blessed are those, enough are those who earn six-figure salaries. Enough are those who are in charge of their own lives. Enough are those who manage to avoid suffering, pain, and poverty. Enough are those who are known and respected by many. Now, Jesus has the audacity to go in a completely different direction with all this, as if these signs make someone enough. Enough, blessed, are those who are poor in spirit, who mourn, who are meek, who hunger and thirst to be at one with God in the world. Enough, blessed, are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for doing what they believe is right. Seriously, that stuff? Instead of striving to be and to have more, these make me enough? I thought they were the signs of being a sucker, a loser, people who get walked all over. Maybe they are. And maybe that isn't the opposite of being enough. If Jesus had only said that once and then moved on to more reasonable stuff, I'd call it a good campaign speech. But no. Look at who he hung out with, who he sought out, what he made of his own life. It all makes me wonder if I've been taught and probably teaching others to look at enough all wrong. Luke is the other gospel writer who has Jesus come out of the wilderness with a message for the world that's all about enough. Again, he travels from village to village and people are drawn to him. At last, he comes to his own hometown, to Nazareth. He steps into the synagogue. He is a reputed teacher by now, although not a conventional or conventionally trained one. And they hand him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah to read, and presumably to teach from. He opens it up to these verses. The Spirit of the Lord, Yahweh, I am who I am. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me. Because Yahweh has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor. Bring good news to the poor, release to the prisoners, recover of sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed. Then the story tells us that Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. The silence had to have been palpable. Busy teaching, asking questions, listening. Silence does that, right? Then the story says, and Jesus said to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What does that even mean? I recently heard Kate Royer Welton, the Lutheran campus pastor at the University of Minnesota, speak about this passage. She asked a bunch of college students what they made of this manifesto of Jesus. She points out that this is a generation who's come of age in a really difficult time. They're not doing well. They're old enough to take in the Great Recession of 2008. The explosion of political and social polarization isn't an exception to the worldview. It has defined their worldview. The cries of Black, Brown, Indigenous, immigrant, and LGBTQ voices to be seen, to be included, to receive justice is the refrain of their whole lives. They are being told they will be among the first generation to not be able to reach the standard of living of their parents, that the world may not last long enough for them, and then the pandemic. It falls on all of us, yeah, but it has not fallen evenly. Royer Welton reports that they heard Jesus' announcement of the world that he sees as good news. Their questions were, how come everyone doesn't want this? How come this hasn't happened yet? Their experience of a world in which too many people aren't enough is being challenged by Jesus, and that was welcome. One person, the last to speak, said this, "It's reassuring to me to hear that the world is not as it should be, that God desires it to be different. It helps me to understand why I am in such pain." This person's experience in which they did not see a world in which they or maybe anyone would ever be enough is being given a chance to see a world in which it is possible to feel enough. To put it simply, Jesus is saying that our world of not enough is looking at the wrong thing. A couple questions. The first is this, inside or outside? That is a message, is whatever it is that will tell you that you are enough or not, inside you or outside? Because if it is outside, It will always be some standard, some accomplishment, achievement, attainment, or status that you will have to measure yourself against. And because it is a matter of enough, it will grow. It will not play fair. It will be like those ridges I hiked toward, each always giving way to the next. And finally, you will not be in charge of the conclusion. Whether that outside voice, your parents, your boss, your coworkers, your friends, the images on social media, TV, and the movies, whether that voice will decide to deem you worthy or not will be up to them. And because they see the world as one in which they too must compete to be enough, it is in their interest that you don't quite get their approval. If your enoughness comes from within, it's a different matter. Now, I don't mean all the voices in your head questioning your enoughness. No, those are just the echoes of the voices outside you that you hear inside you, telling you, as Heath Ledger was told in A Knight's Tale,
"Please, you have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting."
No, I'm talking about your own heart. It has nothing to compare you to. Your spirit, your soul, your inner self that is learning and trying just like you because it is you. It isn't measuring the distance to something else. It's just with you. You aren't enough because you measure up to what the world requires, but because to be enough is something people are. That would bring me to my other question. It's about that hole inside you. That hole, you know, when you look inside to see if you're enough or not, and you find that gaping hole that you have to satisfy so that who you are is what you could be, should be. When you see that hole, it makes sense that you'll conclude that you are not enough, at least not yet. But here's my second question. It's the big question this week. And I need you to back up with me for a minute and remember where it came from. In the first week, the big question was, what is enough? What is it in your life? That's a big and hard question. The second week we asked, what are you trying to fill your life with to be or have enough? And by the way, how's that working for you? We were talking about money, wealth, possessions, examples of all that stuff that at least some of us trust to fill the hole within and make us enough. But you know, it isn't about that stuff that we fill ourselves with, is it? All that stuff does is point at the hole, which is what really matters. So last week, we talked about comfort and where we find it and what we use it for, and we asked this big question. What is the hole in your life that you think you need to fill up with something? I hope you spent some time with that question. I know I did. Nick Tyson tried to help us see how silence is perhaps the best guide to discovering what that hole within us is. But today, Enough Me is taking the question to the next level, turning it on its head. And it's this. What if there never was a hole inside you that needs filling? Seriously, what if there is no hole? What if it's only the expectations, real or perceived, of the outside world piled up so deep around your heart that it just looks as though there's something missing, that there's a yawning abyss in its midst? But that's not a hole. Not a hole that shouldn't be there. What shouldn't be there are the mountains of expectations that make you feel like there is a hole. Maybe you are just who you should be already, right now, for one reason only, because you are. What if it isn't a matter of your being enough or not, but of your letting things seep into your mind and your heart that blind you to the journey, the moment that you are in, so that all you see is a million destinations that you aren't at yet, or never will be, and probably never need to. Jess is a relatively new thread in our Fabric community who shared with me her realization about what enough is. She'd like to share it with you as well.
My husband left me at the end of November. December was a blur of growing accustomed to being a single mom of an infant while working full-time an hour's commute away and feeling constantly reminded that my life is not going to turn out how I had envisioned, not to mention the pandemic. I processed so much grief, anger, depression, despair, misery, everything. Life was hard. I barely remember the details, but I remember crying a lot. Screaming in my car, wailing at the top of my lungs in the living room on evenings when Lucy was with her dad. There were days I didn't want to get out of bed. I just wanted to wallow. But I couldn't. I had a child that needed me, If I didn't get up and take care of her, there was no one else to do it. It was just me. I often felt overwhelmed by the bigness of this new future I had not planned on having. All the holidays spent away from my daughter, all the firsts I might miss out on, being the only one responsible for her when she got sick, worrying that I would mess up, worried that I wouldn't have what it takes to care for her and myself through it all. Christmas Day, while driving up to Duluth to spend the holiday with my parents, I was in my head feeling overwhelmed by the future when I had a realization. I won't ever be expected to survive every Christmas at once. So why am I anticipating and worrying about them all right now? The truth is, no, I don't have enough to make it through all the holidays and birthdays and sicknesses and sorrows, but that will never be reality. What I do have enough for is to make it through now. People had told me, just take it an hour at a time or just make it through today, but that didn't resonate with me. My mind always jumped ahead. What happens after this hour? There's another and then another and another. It had never clicked that I didn't have to have the ability to manage the future in the present moment. That drive, I realized that God has equipped me with exactly what I need to survive the present, and that will always be the case. I don't need to worry about what happens in the future, because by the time the future arrives, it will be the present, and I have enough to get through the present. I always have.
I'm just pausing to take a breath after listening to Jess's words again. Thank you, Jess. You are where you are on your journey, deeply woven with God and with us, not some impossible to imagine distance from a destination somewhere. Enough are the poor in heart, those who mourn. Enough are the meek and those who hunger and thirst for the world to make sense. Maybe I quote these few verses from Isaiah 43 too often. Sorry, I guess I need to hear them. But they speak to why you and I are enough. Listen to these words. The Lord, Yahweh, I am who I am. Yeah, right, you get that. The one who created you says to you, do not fear, for I have brought you back. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, because you are precious in my sight, and I love you. Not because you did what I said or did some great feat, excelled beyond your peers, stood out in the crowd, never made a mistake. Nope. Just because I love you. Why are you enough? God responds to our question, well, I guess it's because I love you, which is because I love you. That's it. That's all. Why do you suppose the best moments of your life are when you're holding the small child's hand? When you're laughing with friends and forgetting all about time? When you watch someone doing something good that they didn't have to do? When you see something as simple as a rainbow or a sunset or a bird fluffed up against the cold? Why would those be the standout moments, except that they are what is on the journey with you right then in that moment, in which you are enough with them and the rest of us, and not waiting, worrying, working for something that is not here yet? There is no hole. There is just you, and you are enough.
For this conversation to have all the richness it could, share this podcast with a friend and find discussion resources at fabricmpls.com. We always love hearing from you through our contact page or on social media. And if you want to share those more personal thoughts about enough and what it is in your life, email those directly to Greg at enough@fabricmpls.com. It's worth this quick reminder that who you are is enough. We may not often feel it, but that's part of the reason we do this together. Life woven together.